This is Outside the Round with Matt Barile, a Rage Rowdy podcast.
Definitely a little different from last time we did this, huh?
I was going to say, I feel like you were the first interview I did, or first podcast I did.
Yeah, bro, I was looking back on it. Episode 55 came out September 28th, 2020. Wow. Recorded in a basement studio in Antioch, Tennessee.
It was at your place, right?
Yep, the other LA. You know, you have Los Angeles, Lower Alabama, Louisiana, Lower Antioch. Lower, you know, Antioch. The other LA, brother. John Morgan, how the fuck you doing, my dude?
I'm good, man. How about you?
Been good, man. Just been busy. It seems like you've been busy too, man.
Yeah, just hanging on for dear life, man. Been doing radio tour and festival season, cutting a record, and all at the same time. So it's been fun.
Congrats, man. Thanks. It's why I was telling the team earlier, like, that I remember hanging out. I think it was at Haley and Katie's apartment.
Dude, I was thinking about that this morning on the way over.
And it was like you, Cody, Dave, myself, Dakota, Ethan, everybody just passing around the guitar. And me, Dave, Ethan, and Dakota had just met you and Cody. And we were like, who the fuck is this guy? Like, just jamming on the guitar. And then you tell us about the bluegrass background and family band and all of that stuff, man. And then I remember you meeting Jason and Tully and all those guys, and just to see how life has just happened the past 4 years, bro.
Yeah, very different position now than I was last time. I actually have something to talk about now.
Dude, you had something to talk about back then, man. So you've been on the road here recently or what?
Yeah, man, I've been doing a lot of fly dates in between, you know, festival shows. We've been kind of bouncing around this summer with a couple different artists, and so it's been fun. It's been really good. We've been playing some really cool festivals and all that, but yeah, man, it's been a lot, but I'm, you know, obviously thankful to have work. You know, it'd be probably not a good situation if I wasn't busy, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, to get to call this work, I remember when you were doing, like, you were like in town as like a track guy, like in studio, like doing like demos.
I'm still a track guy.
Well, but you're a track guy that's got songs on the radio, got songs in the top 30 on country radio, bro. Congrats on
crazy.
That.
Thank you. Yeah.
It's a big freaking deal, but like to get to call this work, it's wild.
I know. I mean, you know how it is, dude. You know, it's kind of always a pipe dream until it's not. And then you're like, whoa, you know, it's, I'm actually like, this is, you switch your hobby to your livelihood, and you know, it gives you a different perspective for sure. And I think for me, which you're the same way, man, I know you grinded it out for a long time too, and made it happen. And I think it makes it even sweeter when, you know, things don't go your way for a while, because you realize, like, you know, I think the biggest thing I've realized is, like, no one's going to get it done unless you do, you know. Nobody cares about it more than you do. So it really, I think Nashville's good about either really, you know, turning you off and sending you back home and doing that, or it fires you up, you know, and you kind of rise up to the competition. And I've always been pretty competitive in sports and all that
stuff. Baseball guy,
Yeah, so I don't know, man. It's fun. I enjoy doing it, and I enjoy having other people kind of in the same class that are killing it, because it makes me want to get there too, you know?
Yeah, I'm thinking back. So when exactly did you get here again? Was it 2019, right?
2019 was when I started making trips down from North Carolina, and then 2020 is when I officially moved here. But
what a time to move here.
Yeah.
I remember talking about that on the last pod we did.
We were just freaking smoking and hanging out. I didn't have much else to do back then. It was a weird time, but I think it was good. It was good for me, I guess, on the writing side of things, because, you know, I, like you said, I was kind of doing the track thing, and that was, well, I was heavily leaning into that, and I thought that was kind of my foot in the door. And you know, it really gave me time to learn and gave me time. There was no pressure, because, you know, especially right at the beginning of 2020, like, I wasn't writing with a lot of signed writers. I was just kind of writing a lot on my own and whoever would write with me at the time. And so, you know, it was good for me, I think, not only on the writing side of things, but vocally. Like, you know, I grew up playing bluegrass, and, you know, vocals are kind of secondary to playing, you know, and it's kind of weird, but it really helped me find my voice, because, you know, I knew the one thing I brought into a room was, you know, being able to sell the demo. And so I don't know. It gave me a lot of time and a lot of takes to be able to get the right pass and, you know, be able to get everything tied in and get a good demo. So. Yeah,
and finding the right people around you too, dude.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's been, you know, it's been a process for sure. But yeah, I think I'm very thankful for the early writing friends that I made. And, you know, I think that's, especially like Lydia Vaughn, for instance.
Dude, she's one of my favorite people, writer, man. Dude. Yeah.
And just, you know, us both getting our first number one as songwriters together was even sweeter, you know. So, yeah, it's super cool. Bundy's the same way. It's like all those guys that really took a chance on me. I mean, I was unsigned when all those guys started writing with me. So it's cool to see them all killing it now, too, and us kind of doing it together.
Yeah, high tides raise all ships, brother.
That's right, man. That's right, absolutely.
Yeah, so what's it been like now? Describe Radio Tour for somebody that hasn't gone through it. Because I know I've seen it on the radio side from back in the day.
Yeah.
I hear it's even tougher than regular touring because it's just you're meeting all these new people and it's just chaos. But in the best way possible because you're getting to promote your stuff.
100%. Yeah, it's, I don't know. I would say probably the toughest thing is just fly dates for me. I don't love flying, but you know, I've been doing a lot of it and getting better with it. But I can finally make my way around some airports. But you know, it's been good in the sense of like, you know, when I was out with Jason, I think the first year I got I pretty much did a mini radio tour when we were out with him. And, you know, he has radio people at most of his shows. And, you know, I got to meet, at least make an initial introduction to all those people. So this year's been good because, like I said, I got to meet them at least once, most of them. And now it's kind of revisiting those people with something on the table. You know? So it's just been cool. But, yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah, you get to know BNA really well.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. It's actually probably one of my favorite airports. Charlotte can go to hell, man. I hate that place.
Charlotte or O'Hare is another one in O'Hare's Chicago, bro. Too, it's massive to get from one side to the other, man. How's the living part of life, too? You got some little ones now?
I do. Yeah, it's that's been fun, too, man. You know, it's challenging having, you know, two young kids at this stage. This is not exactly how I envisioned it when I moved here, you know, but thank God it happened this way because, you know, it's the same thing for me. It's just fuel, right? It's like something for me to work even harder towards. And, you know, I definitely, at the end of the day, you know, whenever, you know, I'm done touring or whatever the case may be down the road, it's like I want my kids to be proud of something too, you know,
yeah.
And that's in the back of my mind as well. But I don't know, man. It's like this morning I'm late because I freaking was walking out the door, and I walked through the living room and Willie's sitting on the couch sucking her thumb with a pile of puke beside her. So I'm like, all right, this is gonna be cool.
Dad life, baby.
Dad life, man. It's real.
That's awesome though, and it's great that you have a rock and you have someone at home that understands this life and has been supportive, honestly, since I met you. Haley's been by your side, and having someone like that understands this life of music where, hey, I'm going to be gone a lot or I'm going to be grinding and figuring it out. And she's been with you every step of the way.
Yeah, that's the key, man, is just, like you said, finding somebody that understands. You know, I'm not just hanging out with the guys, or I'm not just killing time with people. Like it's actually, you know, a big part of the job is networking and meeting people and, you know, telling them thank you for adding your song or whatever the case may be. It's like, it all matters. And, you know, she's really understanding of that. And, she's seen me mixing demos in my bedroom.
So oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's seen it all. And it's cool to, you know, have somebody go through that with you too.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And I mean, so being on the road with Jason, what were those early tour dates like? Because I remember you telling the story of how you met Jason and Tully, and you did that on the last pod with us. Because that was all fresh. That was like spring, summer of 2020 when you like kind of first got here.
Yeah. Well,
and then you end up on the road with one of the top acts of all time. Like,
yeah. Throw me to the fire.
Yeah. And getting to learn from.
Yeah.
freaking Aldean, bro.
I know.
What were those early tour dates like? Because usually you're coming up in like the clubs and things like that. You were coming up in arenas and amphitheaters, bro.
Yeah, it's, you know, obviously I feel like I cut my teeth on a lot of the, you know, especially in the bluegrass days. I mean, we played freaking anywhere, birthday parties, you know, churches, wherever.
Jamborees, bro. Yeah, in the mountains.
You know the jamboree life. Oh, yeah. Life. I don't know, man. I remember the first date we had. I think it was Scranton, actually.
Pennsylvania. Eastern PA, baby. Yeah.
So the first tour was an acoustic set. We had like a 15-minute set, and it was just me and Rob, my drummer, and Jason was cool enough to let us hop on their buses, and so we just were kind of cruising with them, and I remember getting off the bus, and I could barely sleep that night, because I was just like, dude, you know, this is the biggest stage I've ever played in my life, and so I get off the bus, and it's like 7:30 in the morning, right, and nobody's up except for the crew that's building the stage, and so I'm like, go find some coffee and catering. I'm like walking around, you know, have no credentials or anything. I'm just like some random guy walking around. And I walked up on stage and I'm watching these guys like build this screen, right? Like the back screen on stage. And dude, it absolutely blew my mind that, like, I mean, it was like little Lego pieces, right? And they make this entire screen, and I think to me it was just very eye-opening, like, holy shit, this is next level.
Yeah. You know?
So it was fun, man. I think the other good thing about that, too, is, you know, it taught me how to make the best with what you got, because, you know, it was literally me on acoustic guitar and Rob was playing an SPD drum pad, you know.
Wow.
So it's like, how do we translate this in an arena or an amphitheater? And so I think it was cool. We just owned it for what it was. It was just an acoustic guitar and that. And so we didn't try to make it more than it was. So it was cool to, you know, have to navigate that. Even though it was a short set, it was like, it taught me a lot about controlling a crowd and trying to keep their attention, especially, I mean, we're playing the early slot, right?
Yeah.
So people are going to get their beer and all that. That was my telltale sign. If they started getting up to go get their beer, I'm like, all right, we got to pick it up, you know?
Yeah.
So it was good. It was a good learning curve. I obviously learned a lot from Aldean, like you said, on the business side of things. And just I got to see how, you know, he treats his camp and how he treats his people. A lot of guys on his crew have been there for, you know, 10 plus years.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that takes care of his guys.
He does, yeah. And, you know, most of the guys that have been around for a while, they'll tell you that. And so it was cool, man. I got to learn a lot of the ins and outs. His crew just, you know, again, they're top notch. I mean, they're pro level on all ends, and they're just super good dudes. And they were really gracious to us, especially the second year when we were full band out with them in the opening slot. We got our ass chewed a couple times just for doing dumb stuff. Like, I think the first time we really got it laid to us, and Rob, by the way, was my tour manager and drummer at the time, and so it was his first time TMing, and
God bless, I know the feeling.
You do, yeah. Yes. You do. And so we get done with our show. I think it was one of the first weekends we were out, and we were like, well, we got to go back to the merch stand. It was an arena show. And we're like, we got to get back to the merch stand and try to make some, you know, make some cash, get back there, take some pictures, get people in line. And I remember we were out there, and I wasn't really thinking about it, but, you know, we're literally out there in the middle of Gabby Barrett's set, just like taking pictures of people. And Jason's TM comes through, and he's like, come to my office after you leave. You need to get out of here and come to my office. So we went back there, and he gave it to us, rightfully so. But, you know, just little things like that I was unaware of.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of rude to be out there in the middle of somebody's set.
Yeah, you live and learn.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we learned the hard way. So it was good, man. I feel like there were so many things, especially on that second tour, I think for me was, you know, really eye-opening, because the first tour I was kind of like, getting my bearings, right? Like, even by the end, I felt like we had finally hit a groove. And, you know, when you're going full band, like, you're kind of your own operation at that point, and you're not riding on their bus, and you're, you know, you're rocking the van and
van life, bro.
Yeah. God bless.
Yeah.
So there was a lot that we learned, and I feel like that was probably one of the most influential times of my life for my career, just like going through those times and getting your ass chewed out and figuring out, okay, well, you know, if we're going over our set time by 2 minutes, how do we cut it down? You know, it's like all those little things that go on behind the scenes on these with these guys who are just pros. You know, it's like you got to level up too with your opportunities. So it was cool, man.
Yeah, and now you're still, of course, doing a lot of writing. I feel like you're one of those guys where writing kind of is a staple and has come first, because that was one of the first things you were doing. How do you balance that with the artist thing, with the tour stuff, with you got a lot of balls up in the air. How do you balance all that stuff, dude?
Yeah, I mean, it's – I think you just got to, you know, prioritize your life, which was never – a strong suit of mine, but yeah, man, you gotta prioritize. And you know, riding was, you know, obviously that's where I was making an income. That was even now is what supports us being able to go out on the road. And you know, so I thankfully realized that early on, that like riding is, you know, probably one of the bigger priorities that I need to keep rolling and make sure I'm doing a lot of, no matter what else I'm what else is going on. It's like, I gotta make sure I'm at least being consistent, with writing songs. And, it's tough. Like the last 2 or 3 months, I really haven't written a ton. I've been trying to stockpile ideas, but, you know, I've had to kind of shift gears and really focus on, you know, touring and like our show and getting everything tightened up, because, you know, we're still like we like to say, we're a blue collar operation, and we're still kind of at that level where it's like kind of make or break, you know what I mean? And so I feel like it's been fun to do that, but it's definitely taken a little bit away from our writing stuff, in the sense of just like pumping songs out. You know, you go from writing 5-6 days a week to one or two, and now really it's just kind of one for me. If I have a day open, I'm writing, which hopefully I'll get back to that now that we're done. The album is what took a lot of time too. We just got finished with it, so I just, you know, you got to be able to shift gears and focus on different things. And it's definitely tough, man, but it's doable, and I enjoy every second of it, man.
Yeah, dude. To get to create, you get to write on the road a whole lot, or not as much as you probably like to? Because I know a lot of guys and girls do that.
Yeah, I got to a lot when I was out with Aldean, because you know, I write a lot with his band guys, and you know, they actually had a road rig built out in a hard case. So
nice.
We'd pull up to the venue and get one of the green rooms and just start writing, you know, before the show. And so yeah, I did a lot of that 2 years ago, I guess. But you know, it's tough to get guys to come out on a van. I don't know why, but a lot of these riders just don't want, it's not appealing to them to get on a Sprinter van with a bunch of dudes. It is tough, man, because you know, you don't always have a green room and you don't always have a place to do it. And so you know, I feel like that's definitely something I want to get. That's a goal of mine, is to be able to write more on the road and make it easy for people to come out and doable. But yeah, not yet.
Yeah. The van life, though, those are some of my favorite moments that I've had, where whether it was in the 4350 or it was in the, we would call it the BK lounge in the back of the Muscadine Sprinter. Yeah. Like when you're with your guys and you're just on the grind and you're going through it, like the bus is cool, obviously the bus, luxurious back lounge, all that stuff, but everybody kind of has their bunk and can kind of dip out when they want to. When you're with the guys, the conversations that you have with your boys in that enclosed space, like those are moments you never forget.
That's true, man. We've had a lot of those, and you're right. Like you have nowhere to go in a Sprinter.
Yeah, you're with your boys. Like, yeah. You're with your family, still, honestly.
Man, yeah. Whether it's a 18-hour drive to South Dakota or bro, whatever the case.
Been there, dude. Been there, bro. Do you do any driving in the van?
Dude, yeah, I do a lot. It's, you know, thankfully this year, you know, we've been able to add to the team, and we've had, you know, Nate and Dave, you know.
Oh, Dave.
Dave's
bro.
Been killing it. He's been taking a lot of the shifts, but yeah, it was last year actually was cool because I got to have my dad out and he drove a lot for us.
So, nice.
It was cool to have him out, but yeah, this year we're kind of back to, you know, taking shifts, and we all have our riding partner and they're hand selected.
Yeah.
But it's good, man. We're doing it, and you know, I think once you get a little system figured out, it's not as bad as just, you know, trying to figure it out weekend to weekend, you know?
Yeah, dude, absolutely. So have you been to all 50 states yet? You've been to most of them.
Yeah, I think, I'm trying to think, maybe Alaska. I haven't been to Alaska.
You've been up the East Coast. Hawaii. I'm sure you've been up to like Maine. You've been down to Florida. You've been everywhere in between.
Dude, I love Portland, Maine was one of the coolest spots.
So my dad is actually from Westbrook, which is town next to Portland. Yeah. So I grew up going up there. And to me, it's just such an underrated place. Oh, and they freaking love their country music up there.
Yeah.
That crowd gets into it.
I was trying to think what I played. It was a radio show I was out there doing, and I played a little club down the road. It was really fun, man. It was one of the bigger turnouts I've had for a radio show too. And they have me there. There's a couple out there that they kind of host whatever artist comes through. They're kind of a local couple, and they just like, I guess, meeting people, and they're like, come over and, you know, you can drive our gator around, and we got a lake spot. And I'm just like, cool. So I get out there, dude. It was one of the prettiest spots I've ever seen. It was just like, because the water up there is super, is it spring fed? I think.
Yeah, because like Poland Spring water is big up there. Yeah. So, yeah.
I think it was what they were telling me, and you could literally see to the bottom.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just cool, man. Really, really great weather. I was up there kind of at the right time, too.
Yeah, I've been up there when it's been like 2 feet of snow.
Dude.
But you go in like the summer, or like right now, like the early fall when the leaves are changing. It's a little brisk. The water going in the ocean water remains fucking cold though, dude.
But
it's like 60 degrees, 70 degrees all year round. So it's like you're kind of like a cold plunge when you go in there. But no, it's beautiful up there, dude.
Yeah, it is, man. I really enjoyed it. I was trying to think of Guilford.
Dude, one of the best amphitheaters. Dude, and I feel like they put a lot of the cool stuff backstage at some of the venues that are the furthest from Nashville.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they strategically do that. Like, when you go out west to, like, the Gorge and you go out there to, like, Washington, like, that's really sick. But, yeah, like, the basketball court and, like, the little, like, golf simulator and all of that stuff. And then the food, bro, the lobster that they have in Guilford, bro.
Yeah, where do you go from Guilford?
You know, right?
Man, it's like every Gurnon's got their work cut out after that.
Yeah, dude,
they had like this big ice sculpture when we were there.
Yeah,
I can't remember what it was. It was some kind of ice sculpture, and they had it made to where you literally did tequila shots off of it. It was like 10 feet. It was huge, dude, like massive. And you somebody pours you a shot and it runs, you know.
Yeah.
it was crazy. But yeah, they're that Guilford, even just the place, man, it was just beautiful, great weather, kind of the same thing as Maine to me. It was like Bangor's awesome too. We played a gig up there, and I love, that's one of my favorite things about getting to do this, is I get to see parts of the country I've never been to.
Yeah, you get an understanding of how different people live. Like folks in, like, say, like Kearney, Nebraska, or Omaha, or Topeka, Kansas, live a certain way than they do in, like, the Carolinas or, like, Florida. Or, like, you get to see it all. And you get to be like, well, people love country music everywhere.
They do. And honestly, I've realized how similar pretty much everybody is that are country music fans. It's like you got a lot more in common than I feel like you think because of all the stereotypes. You know, I think I was in upstate New York last weekend, and I was like, dude, this place is unbelievable.
Where in upstate were you?
Around Syracuse.
Oh, dude, yeah, beautiful up there. And again, this time of year.
It's perfect.
It's
perfect,
the best.
Man. I really loved it. I was like, it reminded me of back home. Honestly, it was just kind of, you know, a lot of similar terrain as back in North Carolina, and that I'm always I'm always down for that kind of stuff. I like being outdoors and all that. But it was beautiful, man. Just people were awesome too. You know, you realize that there's a lot of blue collar people everywhere.
Yeah,
and you know, it's like you were saying, like. One of the guys I met, he was a dairy farmer. He'd been a dairy farmer for like 30 years or something, you know, something wild. And it was just funny because, you know, he's got the really thick New York accent,
yeah.
But he's like as country as can be, you know. Yeah, it's just yeah.
It's a mind trip.
I never thought yeah. I would, you know, put together. But, yeah, it's been awesome, man. I love getting to travel and meet new people. And there's a lot of good people everywhere, too. That's the other thing I've really appreciated about, you know, getting to do this is like not just seeing the places, but getting to meet the people and you know, really spend time with a lot of the local people. And you know, like for instance, when I was up in upstate, they had a police officer was shot and killed, and I was like there hours after it happened, right, getting ready to play the show. And it was really cool because, like, there was probably, I think, 6 or 8 officers that came to the show. And, you know, I think one or two of them was kind of the ringleader, and he kind of knew a little bit about who I was, and he kind of invited everybody. And so I did the show, and I got done and started talking to him. And they're like, dude, we almost didn't come tonight just because of everything that's been going on. And he's like, but dude, this is exactly what we needed. And, you know, it's times like that where I'm like, it's a reality check for me. And I, you know, you get in La La Land out here in artist mode, and you, you know, are backstage and you're meeting radio people, and it all seems like kind of surreal. And then stuff like that happens. And, you know, it reminds me of why I got into it in the first place, or wanted to really pursue the artist side of it and getting to travel and play shows is for that reason.
The power of music, bro.
Oh yeah,
it's the great uniter.
It
seriously.
It is. Yeah. So that's been really cool, man. It's just things like that have happened, you know, over the last couple of years have been eye opening and grounding in a lot of ways for me, just to remind me of kind of where I came from too, you know, which is not far off. So.
Yeah, how's the family doing back in North Carolina, too? I was thinking about that before we got this started. Like, that area is very close to your heart. That's your stomping grounds, and you got a lot of friends and family out there.
I do, man. Yeah, it's, you know, I think, like, my parents were, I just heard from them, like, 2 days ago. And thankfully, you know, the Asheville area, it kind of took the worst of it. And so we're like 45 minutes west of Asheville. So there was some flooding in my hometown that was pretty gnarly. But, you know, for the most part, you know, my parents were okay. It was just we couldn't communicate. There were so many cell towers down and stuff that I couldn't get a hold of them. So that was a little unnerving for, you know, 2 or 3 days of doing that. But thankfully they never lost power. It was off and on, but they had power for the majority of the time, and so that was good. But like Nate, who's, you know, one of the band guys, he's from Burnsville, which is really close to Asheville. And dude, he was sending me pictures because he flew into Charlotte, I think, like the day after it happened, or like the night it was going on.
Wow.
And he texted me the next day, and he was like, bro, you wouldn't believe the stuff that I'm seeing out here. And he started sending me pictures, and I'm like, you know, you got houses literally sitting in the middle of the highway. You got freaking cars that look like they've been through a press. It's like, you know, all this crazy stuff. And, you know, and you're in the mountains too. So you've got, you never, like, people don't prepare for that.
No, there, never,
you know?
Bro.
You wouldn't expect
it. You don't realize all the water coming down from those high slopes down into the hollers.
I know.
Like, there's nowhere for it to go.
Exactly. And, yeah, it's a mess right now, man. Actually, I text somebody told me that Chase Rice was, you know, talking about doing some kind of benefit show. And so I hit him up the other day and just kind of told him about Nate's situation, sent him some pictures, and I was like, dude, if you know, if I can be a part of that, I'd love to, or help out anyway, just let me know. So hopefully we'll be able to do that at some point. But thankfully, you know, all my immediate family, my brother actually lives like Hendersonville, which is really close to Asheville too. And He for some reason had cell service for most of it, but he's doing good as far as I know, and talked to him a couple of days ago. So all my immediate family's good, but I know Nate's, you know, he was showing me pictures of his cousin's house, dude, and it was crazy. Yeah. Just like the whole thing flooded.
But you'll see from this that the power of the folks in Appalachia, in the Carolinas, coming together and rebuilding. And it's hardworking folks that know how to deal with hard times.
Yeah,
you know?
Man. Yeah, it really it reminds me of the tornado that came through here in East Nashville, I guess, what was it, 2020?
Yeah, right when you moved here.
Yeah. Yeah, I was actually like back home the day it happened, and I came home the day after, and just like immediately I had some friends that were like in some, you know, rescue groups and like, you know, all this, you know, debris cleanup stuff. And so I remember going out and just seeing, like, we're not used to tornadoes either.
No,
so,
same, bro. Same. Yeah. We don't get tornadoes in New York. Yeah.
No. So that was crazy for me to see that up close and in person, how insanely powerful those things are, man. They just will absolutely rip a 400-year-old tree out of the ground, you know. It's like just demolish places. And but I guess to your point, I just remember it was cool to see a community kind of come together and put everything, put our differences aside for a minute to get everybody back on.
I remember being out there with Dave and Ethan in Dakota with the chainsaws out there in East Nashville, helping out, moving debris and shit, dude. It was crazy, brother.
Yeah, it was.
It was crazy. So being out on the road here recently, you've been able to go out with Aldine, obviously, go out with Ernest, go out with Riley, go out with Jameson, go out with Connor. And how's the Nate Smith tour stuff been?
Man, I'm pumped about it. Yeah. I really am. He's we've done, I think, 3 shows with those guys.
What
now.
A guy too. What a guy. And he's just a beast on stage, bro.
Yeah, he is. And so all the radio people I've been meeting, they're like, you know, I've tell them about the tours, what we're gonna be doing this fall, and they're like, wow, he's just the sweetest guy, you know, nicest guy, right? And I kept hearing this, and I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, this dude better be nice to me or I'm going to be pissed. You know, everybody else is talking about how nice he is. But, dude, he has been so nice. He literally texted me a couple of weeks ago. It was like 7 p.m., right? And I get a text, and it was like, hey, man, just wanted to check in on you. Let me know if I can do anything for you. I'm like, don't you have anything better to be doing right now? Like, why are you texting me? Why are you so nice, bro? Like, I don't know, man. He's the sweetest guy, but I'm really excited to be out with their camp. His band guys have been really cool to us as well. They have a company called Tour Launch, and they rent out gear and stuff, and just been really helpful, especially to me on the back end of things, just getting all our gear dialed in and kind of hooking us up and giving us deals and stuff. So I'm really excited to hopefully repay a little bit of that this fall and bring it. You know, that's where me and the guys are at. We've been really rebuilding our show and trying to dial in some new tunes.
It's exciting to level up, dude.
It is. Yeah, it is. It's challenging because you're like, you know, a lot of these certain elements of a show, like you don't see until somebody calls you out on it, you know. And it's like we've been, you know, trying to eliminate certain dead spots that really maybe don't feel as awkward to us as they are out front. You know, it's just little things like that to tighten up and you know, level up with the opportunities you're getting. And so, yeah, it's been cool, man. I love doing all that. I've been running Ableton, trying to get all our stuff figured out. And gosh, dude, it's not Pro Tools, that's for sure.
It's not, dude. No. So you got a lot of dates left this fall?
Yeah, I think we've got like 15 or 16 with Nate. With some other stuff sprinkled in before that. I think his start October-ish, I believe. Okay. We've got some, I think we got a couple more with Riley maybe. But yeah, we're just, like I said, we've been bouncing around so much. It's like, it's cool because we get to hang with all these different camps and continue to build those relationships. And I feel like I hang out with those guys more when we're not in Nashville than when we are, you know? So it's good to spend time with other artists and learn from their camps and see how they run their operation. And I'm always taking stuff out and putting it in our bag, you know?
Yeah, dude, absolutely. And right now it's like, a lot of folks are having a tough time, like, getting this with the state of the world. There's not as many dates for folks out there. So the fact that you've been able to tour like you have is huge, bro. And it's a testament to what you're doing, to the success that you're having and the grinding that you and your boys have been doing.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is that, man. I feel like, too, I've just been able in the recent, you know, past couple months and last year, just really been able to get a really good team together too on the back end of things. And just, you know, it makes a huge difference when you've got people who care about you and who care about you know, what your career, and it's just, you know, being a priority to somebody, there's nothing you can't ask for more than that, man. And that's what I feel like, you know, wasn't my strong suit for a long time, was numbers and figuring out, you know, offers that are coming through and all that. And so having help on that, you know, has been amazing. It's allowed me to be able to focus on our show and do the stuff that I moved here to do, you know what I mean? Instead of kind of focusing on stuff I didn't really expect to have to do. But that just comes with it, man.
Yeah.
And it's part of it. I feel like you got to be as good of a businessman as you are a singer or songwriter. Bro,
you're the CEO of John Morgan. Like, you're the boss man, bro. Like, yeah.
That's what they tell me.
It's a lot, man. Tell me about Long Ride Home, latest single you put out.
Man, I love that song. I'm so happy it's finally out. You know, I wrote it, I guess, about a year ago, when we were just kind of weekend warriors and just tried to pull some inspiration about just being on the road. And, you know, also nobody's written a trucker song in forever. So,
yeah, it's like, been a minute.
We gotta shout out those guys. So I love that song. I tried to capture that feeling of, like, you know, when you're coming home from a long trip and you hit your exit, you know, that takes you home. There's no better feeling, to me at least, than that moment. And so that's kind of what I reminisce about when I hear that song, and the lyric kind of drives pretty hard to that as well. So I'm stoked about it, man. We'll see what happens with it. But
yeah, there's something about pulling in, getting on, crossing that border from, like, Kentucky or Alabama, when you're getting close and you're like, I can feel like I'm back home, you know. Yeah. Like, when you get there after that long ride, like you said, coming back from South Dakota, that final hour of the 18 hours in the van, bro.
That was a tough one.
What time of year were you up there? Because I did South Dakota in the winter, bro.
It was last month, or it was very recent.
Okay.
It's just freaking dry, dude. I think Nate had like 15 nosebleeds while we were up there. Just
damn.
Like, so dry. But yeah, it's, you're right, man. You know, that's what keeps me out too, is being able to spend time with my guys. Cause now it's like, you know, with having, you know, young kids and whatever, it's like, when I am home, I'm just home. You know, I got a lot of stuff to catch up there too, on, and just getting to spend time with them while I have it has been good. And but now I hang out with my buddies on the weekend when we go out and play shows. And so that's the only balance I've found, is like, if you're gonna do it and do it this way, man, you gotta delegate your time and make sure that, you know, when you're home, you're spending time with the people who need you. And then when you're on the road, you can kick it a little bit, and, you know, you're obviously still working, but it's fun work, right?
yeah. Do Haley and the kids get out to shows at all?
Yeah, every once in a while, man. It's she's not really, the sprinter's not appealing to her either.
Yeah, well, yeah,
reason,
the flying in or road tripping with somebody or something like that. Yeah,
flying with two kids is just amazing. let me tell you, it's tough, but there are, like, for instance, when we're in, I think, Chattanooga and Atlanta, some of those closer shows, we haven't really hit that market a ton yet. So we're going to be hitting some of those spots on this tour. And so hopefully they'll get to come out a few times.
Awesome, dude. Yeah. That's going to be a moment when you look side stage and you see the little ones.
Yeah.
With the headphones on. Like,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
Watching dad do his thing.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Again, it's not how I ever envisioned my career being, but I'm so thankful for it, man. It definitely was a lifesaver for me in a lot of ways. And just, you know, especially having, like I said, I want to give them something to be proud of too. And that's a lot of driving force for me. So, yeah, hopefully we'll get him out on some more shows.
Yeah. When was the moment where you're like, I want to be John Morgan, the artist? When does the artist thing really start to go? Because last time we had you on, it was like, you were kind of like toying with it. It was just kind of happening. I think it was over like a game of pickleball where you sat down. Right? Was that where you met? Was that what you were doing with Tolly and Jason and stuff? But when does that switch kind of flip where you're like, I want to go out there and I want to put out my own songs?
Well, I think that particular statement, that's always been something that I've dreamed about. Like I always, when I quit playing bluegrass because, you know, I was playing traditional bluegrass and you play a lot of the same stuff that everybody else is playing. It's a different rendition of a certain, you know, old traditional bluegrass tune. And so I think I just kind of got burnt on that and started feeling like, I mean, I was 18, 19, and I started feeling like I had something to say too, or I was really intrigued by the idea of getting to create an idea and try to see it through and turn it into something. And so that was kind of my driving force as far as like getting me to Nashville. But I think really when I realized that being an artist was achievable was when Al Dean called me and was like, he's like, dude, you know, and he told me this early on. He was like, man, I really, he's like, I love your songwriting. He's like, dude, but you're an artist. Like you need to realize that. And that was just super encouraging, but also eye opening for me. Like, okay, if this guy thinks I could do it, then I need to buckle down and really invest some time into it. And so, you know, and at that point, nobody really saw me as an artist, right? It was like you were saying, I was track guy in it, and I was doing whatever I could to get in the room.
You were playing a lot of rounds with us back in the day. I remember you were one of our staples at Live Oak in the COVID days, bro.
Dude, yeah, still one of my most played videos, too. It's crazy, man. Yeah. But I love doing those shows, man. That was another, you know, appreciation to you guys for having me out. Having really nothing going on either at that time.
It was like you, Rob, and we would have like Cody or Dave or like a lot of the guys that are still around you to this day, like all kind of coming up. Like you said, like the class of guys that moved here. Cause I got here fall of 18 and you got here like, I was right around that same time, you know? And so was Dave. So were guys like Dylan Marlowe, like Lee Langston, Noah Hicks. Like there were a lot of homies that, and seeing where everybody's at right now, but thinking back to those days of those late nights at Live Oak and then that turned into late nights at Red Door, you know? And now to see everybody's, we all don't see each other as much, but it's because we're out doing our damn thing.
Yeah, it's because it paid off a little bit. I really enjoyed that. That time of life was really good. I got to network a ton during that time and really made a lot of, like you said, my friends that are still my friends and homies now. It's like, couldn't have asked for, you know, better crew to get in with early on. I owe you a thanks because Dave, Joey, Cody, I mean, all the guys, man. I feel like
Joey, your guitar player, used to live on my couch before we even moved here. We had that little house in Laverne.
That was a big ass couch.
It was the Whiskey Row bouncer, one of the bouncer houses where all of us lived when I was working downtown doing security. And it was me, Ethan Willis, and Coda Tate, and Joey was coming back and forth from Jackson with like Matthew McSwain and those dudes, right. Hunter Jordan, and they were all crashing on our couch.
Dude, I can't imagine Joey crashing on my couch, bro. You gotta be a special person to live with that boy.
Yeah, dude, he did security with us and would hang out and all of that. And like I love that you have like your group of guys and it's like the same dudes that you came up with, man. That's a testament to you and the operation that you're running, seriously.
Well, I just, you know, I think I've always, you know, I've never been like I said, the business mindset was, it was something I didn't really see coming, because you think, well, I'm just going to be writing songs. I don't necessarily have to worry about any of that. But, dude, I never took a business class. I never had any, like, professional training in how to run a company. And so, you know, getting my number one thing was, like, I want people around me that I can trust.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I don't trust anybody here, you know, and I'd seen enough to know that, you know, there's definitely some snakes in Nashville. There's a lot of great people in this industry, but You know, there's also a few that, you know, they just, they see money, you know, or they see clout or whatever the case may be. And so, I just wanted guys who I knew were humble, that had similar upbringings to me, 'cause I knew I could trust them, in the moral sense of just like, they're not going to be talking about stuff they shouldn't be talking about, or, you know, you don't have to worry about people doing, you know, sketchy stuff. It's like, I knew these guys were solid guys, and, you know, thankfully they're all talented as well, and that helps. But, yeah, it's been really cool, man, to, you know, have that as a driving force too, because, you know, to me, they've invested so much into my career, that it's no longer an option for me. It's going to happen. We're going to make it work, because yeah. I want it to pay off as much for them as it does for me. You know? Dude.
And it's working right now. And tell me about this album, man. Got me all excited over here.
Dude, I'm pumped, man. We, I was kind of trying to figure out what I wanted to do, you know, as far as like how to approach, you know, the debut album, because I've had so much time to write and, you know, kind of put stuff on a list that I'm like, maybe one day when this comes around, I'm going to hang on to this one for that. And I've had 3-4 years of just really focusing on songwriting to be able to do that. And obviously writing for other people too. But that was kind of my approach, is like, write for the artist. And if it's not them and it's something that I feel like is me, I just put it in my back pocket, you know? So there's songs on there that are 3-4 years old. There's some that I wrote this year. It's been a really cool process, as far as picking what songs, but, even on the production side of things, man, like I really wanted to have a lot of control, on this project specifically.
Which makes sense with your production background.
Yeah. I mean, I know enough to be dangerous, you know, I would say so. Yeah. It's just like, and I enjoy that as much as I enjoy writing, as much as I enjoy performing. I love being in the studio, man. It's just that's the creative juices in me that I love getting to like try things. And like, you know, for instance, guitar tones, like, I'm a grasser, right? I'm not a huge gearhead. I've learned a lot from Joey, but you know, it's, you get to get in the studio and have somebody, who actually knows what they're doing and give you a cool tone, and you can try different things. Right. And so it's stuff like that, that I really enjoy getting to do. And, you know, I was trying to figure out who I wanted to do it with. And as far as production, and, I started talking to a guy named Brent Anderson, who's been in town for forever.
Dude, Brent's sick. That's the homie right there. We love
Brent.
Yeah,
he's just one of the most talented guys I've been around in town. And we got to talking, and I was kind of at an interim phase on some other ends on the business side, and I was just like, man, I don't want some random whatever just because they have a name to produce this project. Like, I want to be able to have a say in how it turns out and how it's cut and the sound, because, again, I had 4 years to figure out. I never really honed in on what my sound was, but I knew what it wasn't. You know, yeah. I'd written enough pop stuff. I've written enough whatever to know, like, I like these elements, but I would know, you know, that's not my thing, right? And you can kind of pick and choose. And so I had a good vision, I feel like, for what I wanted the album to sound like as a whole. But having Brent, man, he's just a monster. He can play he's the guy that pisses you off, because he can play anything better than you.
The guy you want.
Yeah. And he's just got a great ear. And so, you know, not only that, but he was talking to me, you know, and back when he had a record deal, he was telling me about that. And because I was kind of telling him some frustrations, and we were chatting one night, and he's like, look, man, he's like, when I moved to town, he's like, I didn't play a single guitar on my debut album. I didn't play anything. He's like, that's just the way it was at the time. And I took advice from people who, had been there and had the experience. And he's like, I don't necessarily regret that, but I do regret not getting to have, you know, my hands in on the production side. And, you know, something that really stuck out to me, he was like, dude, I'm never going to play a solo if you want to play it. If you want me to play the solo, I'll do it. But, you know, it's like, I want this to be your album. I want you to be all over this thing, player wise, you know, production wise. So that was really cool to me. That's exactly what I was looking for, yeah. For this project. And so he's been awesome to have, even on the business side, because, you know, there's a lot that goes on just getting all the legal stuff down, you know, and getting people's cards figured out and all that stuff. I've never had to do any of that. So it's good to have somebody with a little experience on that end. But I think, you know, as far as the songs, man, like, I just told myself, I was like, man, I want to do an entire project of songs that I feel like are just hits, man. Like, I'm not going to cut anything that doesn't feel like it couldn't go to radio today. And I think having that mindset, that was something that Jason encouraged me on too, man. He's like, you know, right now where you're at, he's like, dude, just cut the hits, man. Like, just that, give it to them, you know, throw everything you got at them. Because, you know, and my thought process is this too, man. It's like, this may be the only album I ever get to do. So if it is, yeah. I'm going to make it damn, you know, I'm going to give it my all, and I'm going to put everything, you know, every song that I think is me and that could be a hit, I want that on this project. And it kind of, I don't know, worked itself out in a way that it touches a lot on my roots, which is bluegrass. It's got a lot of that, which I haven't really done a lot of yet. But it's got a lot of that. It's got a lot of North Carolina in it. And it's also got, you know, touches of, you know, my classic rock, love for classic rock and hair bands. You know, it's like, it's got all the different elements, that I really wanted it to have, because, you know, one of my favorite guys of all time is Ronnie Milsap.
Hell yeah.
And, you know, the thing I love about him is, like, you put on a record, doesn't matter which one. When it plays through, if, like, who knows what the track's gonna sound like on the next song? You know what I mean? Like, everything's different. He'll have 80s keys up here. He'll have, you know, a banjo on the like. It's so diverse, but the glue was his voice, right? Like, you knew exactly who it was when he started singing, and that was always intriguing to me. Keith Whitley's kind of the same way. It's like he could sing a bluegrass traditional standard, and then go cut, you know, Miami, and you know exactly who it is because it's the voice, right?
Yeah.
And so that was my goal, was to just show people, I guess, showcase, you know, all my different influences and you know, touch on a few different genres that I really love. And I feel like we've done that, and I'm excited to get it out, man.
Well, we're excited to jam it, bro. Yeah, we're excited, dude. Man, very, very, very stoked for that to come out. And dude, I appreciate the hell out of you coming and doing this and coming across town and coming out here to our behind Tractor Supply studio in this
dude,
building.
I've actually been here before.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, this building out here, what was it? My dad brought me over here. He was looking for he does like wood turning. He does like, he like turns bowls and stuff. He's really into woodworking.
Oh, wow. Nice.
And there was some kind of part he needed. It was literally on the same
in this like little compound plaza. Yeah, that's sick. That's
I was like, this looks too familiar. I don't know if I had the right address, but nah, it's cool, man. Thank you for having me.
So you got a song top 30 at country radio right now, brother. Friends Like That with Jason on the damn song. It was most added, and it's in the top 30 right now, brother. How does that feel?
It's wild, man. You know, I feel like the other cool thing about it is, you know, I've been fortunate to write a couple for him, so it's cool to have him kind of jump on something with me and get to do it together. But I couldn't be more excited about how it's moving, and you know, with all the other heavy hitters in the game right now putting out music, I'm just thankful to be in the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, dude, that's awesome. So y'all be sure to check out our boy John Morgan. Be sure to request Friends Like That at your local country radio station. Top 30 most added when it came out. Freaking sick. Also check out Long Ride Home, the latest release from John, and be on the lookout. Make sure you get out and see him on the road. For my man John Morgan, I'm Matt Barrill. This has been Outside the Round.
I ain't never been the kind for staying one place for too long. I ain't never been the best. just had said, I love you to a girl I love. Only got a couple tricks on my sleeve. They usually just make them leave. So if you know